sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, those are time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon, mesdames et messieurs, épisode 208. Make it massa proud. And that ain't it. And you think I ever quit? Still, I plan to get my hands around the neck of the man with the whip.
Message!
3 months past the brand a label on my ass. Excuse me. 3 months past the brand a label on my ass to signify I'm on. I own the microphone. Correction. I'm on the microphone. To signify I'm on. I'm on the microphone. Welcome. Whew. Welcome. Et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. You know, by that intro, you wouldn't be at fault for thinking this is going to be a French podcast. Yeah. Stick around. Stick around. You Anglophones. You Anglo. Because, I'm just trying to be fancy. I'm using my... I'm trying to wow you ladies with my French-Canadian accent. All right. Back. Stick to the script, B. All right. Before I continue and start with an amazing show. Amazing show. I need to inform you new listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's your blues
up in this bitch? Who's your blues up in this bitch? Who's your blues up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to the question by Big Rude.
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, if you want to be down, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Okay. All right. You guys should see me when I say fuck Whitey. Like, I put a lot of emphasis on the like, you can see my two front teeth. You can see, yeah. All right. Okay. Continue with tradition. Like always, I like to send a beautiful and amazing shout out to all you returning listeners. I'm like, you're all a dream come true. It was all a dream. And to you new listeners, hey, you new listeners, first timers, getting ready to pop your cherry. Some of you are here potentially by mistake, but regardless, I still want to welcome you in the house of B Black, that B Black made with another. Yay! See, that was the first step. The first step was the first episode. Think about it. Okay. After the fuck Whitey, I forgot to play.
We are at war!
And also,
some Megatron.
I think I'm considering making it a thing, calling my audience, my Negatron. Trons. We're nigga Trons. What if I'm white? Shut the fuck up. Accept the title. My nigga Trons. All the Shut up podcast listeners. A bunch of nigga Trons. All right. Sorry, I had a thought of that song. I was like, going, I live in my home. Oh, whatever. It's this dude on TikTok. He sings. I forget the song. It doesn't matter. All right, okay. I'm distracted. Oh, my God. For those who know me, it's at my challenges. Staying focused. Stick to the script, B. Stick to the script. Contrary to popular belief, everything that, well, not everything that I'm saying is written, but I actually have a script. And it's hard to stay focused on the script. Oh, shit, a squirrel. All right, okay. I need to address you new listeners. Just to help you get familiarized with how I do things on this podcast, I like to break down my episodes. This episode will be broken down into three parts. Three parts which I refer to as acts. Why? It just sounds fancy, all right? If you can't tell, I'm all about being fancy. In the first act is the intro. Second act is use your random thoughts, because that's all I do is use your random thoughts. And the final act is final thoughts. Now, usually, in this particular case, yes, usually the title and the poetry that I recited at the beginning, the rap verse, all right. Poetry's, yeah, I'm trying to be fancy, but the rap verse that I spit it at the beginning all relate to the final thought. So it's meant to give you an idea of what I'll be talking about. Another thing I like to do is to complete the intro, or the first act, is share some quotes, okay, just to get us started, okay, or a wheel about quotes that should have podcast. And the first one is, it's the first one goes, it's an acronym for the word GROW, and it stands for get rid of old ways. Shout out to Talal Macy for sharing that. Yeah. Second quote goes, this one I found it on the Reddit, subreddit HSP, and the original poster. Man, I felt like woke up that morning and posted that shit and targeted me directly. And they wrote, the quote goes, self-blame is your coping mechanism. When self-blame is your coping mechanism, every awkward interaction is your fault. Every problem at work is your responsibility. You think you deserve it whenever people lash out at you. Any negative experience deeply affects your self-esteem. Any negative experience affects your self-esteem. It's a Titanic sinking. Oh fuck. Oh shit. I suck at picking tickets. You're always looking for signs of disapproval, and this one got my attention. The last one. You put everyone on a pedestal. Oh, okay. Credit goes to Asha Jacob Coaching. Oh, man, what are all these freaking coaches? You know, okay, anyways. And the last quote, and this one is directly in reference to what I'm going to talk about and the final thought. And it goes, it's by Charles Bukowski, the writer. And he goes, do you hate people? Do you hate people? I don't hate them. I just feel better when they're not around. Clever man. Okay, this is it. Okay, this is it for the intro. Let's jump to news and random thoughts. And like I said, let's have an amazing show. Let's have an amazing time together. All right, let's do this. All right, first things first. If you couldn't tell, yes, for those who've been to the shutuppodcast.com website, because every episode I keep telling you to go to the website, it's going for a bit of changes. See, what happened is I'm moving all my shit to a podcast host, and as a result, my website is kind of upset. I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. Long story short, I'm still, what you're seeing there is an unfinished project. Oh, just like this podcast. It's an unfinished, basically, I'm trying to decide what to do with my website. And so if it's looking a little weird, that's it's a think of it as a painting expressing my indecisiveness, me being undecisive. Call it Be Black Undecided. Okay, there. Second. Ooh, yes. Okay. I need to take something back that I said on the last episode. I don't know what's up with me, but lately I keep forgetting the titles of my my own episode. The last one was called shit, man. And it was a cool title too. It was called episode 207, and it was called Live and Die. I thought it sounded cool. Yeah. So on the last episode, I need to take something back up that I said about white people and Truth and Reconciliation Day. And to help you understand or what inspired me, so on the last episode, what I said is how it was just a day so white people could feel less guilty about themselves. And then I saw this clip and I'm realizing that that was really, what's the word I'm looking at? I felt mean for saying what I said. Not because of white people, but for the people who this day matters. And I'm going to play this clip and it'll make sense. Here we go.
Today is National Truth and Reconciliation Day in Canada, where we wear orange shirts in remembrance of the children who suffered. My mom came from a family of 24 kids. As children, they endured a lot of abuse, but came together as adults to reclaim their beautiful Native heritage as something to be proud of. They joined each other at powwows, our Native ceremony, where we dance, sing, and eat, and mostly where the sound of the drums was their healing medicine. We are proud members of the Matachewan First Nations, and I really thank you for coming and watching my video today.
Okay. For two reasons I want to recite, I want to take back what I said. It's because one, the first one is, I don't want to be on the side of, I don't know what it's like to be white. I mean, I know white people, but I do not know, I spend time wondering what it would be like for me to, aside from the privilege, what it would be like for me to be white, especially when, I'll just get to the point. It's very common that I see white people try to go through their things when it comes to the history of their ancestors. And I'm talking about the ones that are trying. Sometimes they're unsuccessful and sometimes. But it's the trying part. I don't want to take part in the people that are like, oh, well, he's just being a guilty white person. I don't want to be that guy. He's just, you know, just do that again. I mean, yeah, some white people do it. I will point it out. But when it comes to Truth and Reconciliation Day, I mean, I'll crack my jokes, but I guess I'm saying in this, I'm trying to give more context to what I was saying or what I meant. But but on that day, didn't need to say that. Two, watching this clip, hearing this clip, the message from this this content creator, it made me think about how, you know, it's not about them, how there are indigenous people who see value in this day, and I wouldn't be the one to get in the way of doing that. So I'm not gonna, if I make my jokes, but I'm not, I wouldn't feel right making my jokes about it. If they take it seriously, then I'm taking it seriously. They see value in it, then, you know, and I know that this whole attempt at truth and reconciliation to me is also, I guess I'm discouraged. I know I'm low on hope. I'm not the dude to talk to the younger generation. There's some folks who still have hope that, hey, look, the rest of us, we're trying to make the best out of a shitty situation. We know these crackers ain't going to give back this country. But at least we got them to acknowledge that, yeah, we stole it. It stole it. No, you know, they stopped from doing that. And two, and the part that really struck stuck to me in her message is I remember it reminded me, there's something she said that reminded me of the day after the death of George Floyd. And no, go again. there were all kinds of white people in the woodworks. Okay, sure, there were some shitty white people. I'm trying not to think about it, but I am going to reflect on the white people who, for the first time, were actually sincere when they said, "I want to hear what you got to say." And I remember it was like the first time, there was like a brief period after his death where it was, I felt it was okay for me to speak my truth regarding my blackness and my experience. And they were just, "I'll shut the fuck up while you talk." And it was like that opportunity to be able to finally speak out, say something, and not have to worry about some white person's white fragility. So I understand being able to have an opportunity to be able to say things you've never been able to say before. Like talk about the, yeah, man, I could imagine. A lot of indigenous people spent their lives being gaslighted about, yeah, no, there was no, you didn't lose a parent to in their residential school. It wasn't that bad. You're making shit up. What? RCMP did what? Like, this is finally their moment to be able to say, "Yo, this shit sucked. And if I could, I would strangle your cracker ass for what you did to my people." So, yeah. All right. Okay. There we have it. I take it back. Scribble, 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 scribble. All right. Okay. Second item here. All right. Okay. Now, this sister broke it down for me. So I was unaware that apparently there's a clip circling the internet of Haitian transitional president drinking water. I guess homie must have been thirsty because he saw the pitcher of water and he tried drinking it and he spilled some on himself. And that's what the whole focus was on. I had no idea. I wouldn't have known about it until if it hadn't been for this sister who said, "Yo, everyone is focused on that faux pas, that little mistake he made, but haven't been paying attention to what he actually said while he was up on that podium." And I'll let her explain it better than I can. So here we go.
"I'm sure all this one will see that viral clip of the president of TBC of Haiti drink water from a pitcher. But I said to myself, why are so many media outlets reporting this? From the Economic Times, Euro News, Daily Mail. Well, what did he say in his speech that they needed this to be the only thing people remember or know about? And after I ran to listen to his speech, I was like, of course they don't want people to know this.
Haiti, the first independent black nation of the world, today is the greatest victim of a historical injustice which has not only delayed our development but has also saddled our people with a burden, the repercussions of which we still feel today. In 1825, just 21 years after having won its freedom at the cost of a heroic fight, Haiti was forced to pay a colossal debt to France, the colonizing country, in exchange for recognizing its independence. This ransom, imposed under threat, siphoned off resources of the young nation, plunging it into an infernal cycle of impoverishment, which it still struggles to overcome. This debt was a form of punishment for our audacity in throwing off the chains of slavery."
See that right there? He is literally outing the system that was put in Haiti in exchange for their freedom. Now, I don't know what kind of leader he is, but that system sounds like the same one that's crippling a lot of the global South countries. That's something they don't want us to know or even talk about. Okay. They just want us to think that these countries are dysfunctional and they can't govern themselves because we gave them independence. Yeah. More like you took the tanks away and you left them with banks.
Okay, I'm going to rush a quick thought about this one is, two of them. The first one is, I think an article came out on the New York Times about how, France took a shitload of money from Haiti, how France got reparation for Haiti for liberating themselves from slavery. Same France that had the what's it called? The French Revolution? Yeah, the French Revolution. It kills me that France, United States, all countries that should be able to, oh, we understand why you did what you did. Nope, they just punished Haiti for it. I'm glad that he brought this up because I know the New York Times did an article about that, the reparation that the New York Times paid. And when my dad saw it, he said, oh, it was like, think, he spent his life being gaslit about that moment of history, of that shit never happening. It's like, he was starting to think that it's only crazy Haitian who believe that theory. It reminds me, the way he responded is like, when people learned, especially Black Americans, found out that, or were in denial of, or were not aware that the CIA actually flooded Black neighborhoods with crack. I remember growing up on that, and at the time it was just some crazy conspiracy theory that only the pro-Black Hotep types believed in, only to realize that, why did they make a movie out of it? And you're like, oh shit, that actually happened? So yeah, man, there's a lot about this world that we don't know, we're still learning. And that's why I keep saying that, man. Look, white people, if you're being called racist, I mean, accept it. And blame your parents, man. They set you up for failure, man. You were born, they raised you to be. They raised you on the idea of a benevolence, white people. You're benevolent. You know what? Okay, that's, I'm not going to stick to this. I'm just going to. But yeah, I had to share that clip. I had to share that piece of news. Okay. What else? This I got to read. This, the title makes me laugh, okay? It goes, former Black Voices for Trump. That's what I said. Former Black Voices for Trump director. And he says, quote, Marjorie Taylor Greene called me the N-word. I'm going to let you marinate on that one. Marjorie Taylor Greene? Would you such a disaster? You know, let me read the whole article. Harrison Floyd alleged a Georgia GOP executive member heard Greene use the slur against him. When Marjorie Taylor Greene called out Laura Loomer racist remarks about Curry and call centers directed against Kamala Harris, Loomer accused Greene of saying the N-word. Former Black Voices for Trump director and Trump co-conspirator Harrison Floyd came to Loomer's defense and said Greene's N-word slur was directed at him after issuing a primary challenge. This might be a waste of our time, okay? Well, A, surprise, dumb it, nigga. But it's worth the fact that this dude is using this story to come to the defense of another white woman. That's the part I'm a little, but whatever, man. I was entertained, but this story is getting less entertaining. Floyd shared additional details about Greene's alleged N-word slur on Twitter. Floyd wrote that Greene has no room to call anyone racist or talk about what the MAGA community stands for when it refers to me as a nigger in private. He was holding on to that story, man. He knew that was his ace. Okay, I'm going to use this story to come to the defense of a white woman who might have sex with me later. All right. At Laura Loomer, Harrison Ford was, okay, at Laura Loomer was one of the first people to notice I was the only co-defendant that didn't come out of Fulton County Jail and called a flight risk for no reason. Wait, what? She personally reached out to my wife for support and help raise awareness for defense fund. Oh, she said Laura Loomer, oh, hooked her up. Now over 300K. If Laura is racist, she is bad at it. Oh, shut up, nigga. And then at MTG Green has no room to call anyone a racist or talk about the MAGA community. The MAGA community stands for when she refers to me as a nigger in private. She has never publicly supported me and tried to save my own skin. Our country's many serious issues. Yes, anytime Rep MTG is in the spotlight, it's always an issue of race and racism. We can't trust racist rhinos to do the right thing. We can do better. You know what? Fuck that. Let them hoes fight. Fuck it. Fuck it, man. Qu'est-ce qu'il faut là, man? This story is way too cut. I'm not reading this. Go to hell, man. They can all burn. This nigga. First of all, I'm very sure that all these Trump, these all for Blacks for Trump types have heard the N-word several times and have turned their backs on it. And I've like pretended they didn't hear it or told themselves, oh, they're not talking to me. Because there are niggers out there. But I ain't one of them. don't bullshit. Don't beach to me, JD Wolf. Okay, I'm not going to read the story. Okay, look, the link's in the show notes to the article. You can read it yourself. But yeah, man, I added this at the last minute thinking I was going to be entertained. But nah, man, this is a black dude coming to defense of a white woman, of a racist white woman against another racist white woman. You know what I mean? Anyways, yeah. Brief me. Okay, next story. Catty fish. Okay, this one here. Yes. Okay, you guys know who Archie Bunker is? Of course you do. If you're white, you very likely know who Archie Bunker. Okay, the clip I'm about to play is... caption reads, 1970, O'Connor. Okay, didn't know that was his name. Carol O'Connor describes the unhappy character and life of Archie Bunker.
Somebody said that I was playing a lovable bigot, and then the next thing you know, a lady in New York whom nobody had ever heard from in about 20 years wrote a big thing in the New York Times about Archie being a lovable bigot.
Laura Hobson. That's
yeah.
Right, I remember that.
Well, I don't know about the lovable part of it. You see, what we're doing is we're really present, as I see it at least, we're presenting the story of a man who's basically a pretty unhappy guy. You people may laugh at him and enjoy him, but he's not really making it in the modern world at all. And you rarely see him happy about anything. And one of the things that, the main thing that makes him happy, of course, is this volume of errors. The errors he's grown up with, his his racism and his bigotry, those are errors that were put upon him when he was learning things at his mother's knee. Mm-hmm. And he's grown up with these beliefs and these misconceptions, and they really are now poisoning his life. So you all must realize that while you're enjoying the show, and I'm delighted that you are enjoying the show, you must look at Archie as a man who could be getting a lot more out of his life if he didn't have these burdens on him and these things that have poisoned his life.
Are people generally surprised? I was just sitting here, it's hard for me to adjust to hearing you talk, even though I'd seen you in pictures before and in other things. That image is so stamped now on people's minds that people are probably surprised to hear you talk without Archie's own, you know, dialogue, own speech pattern, own accent.
Well, of course, any time you want, I can laugh at that. Yeah.
I was going to interrupt the clip. This must be an old clip because, 1970s. when you watch it yourself, you'll see he's smoking. When the interviewer was asking him the question, I don't recognize you. You sound like a less trashy white man. Anyways, okay. I love this clip. I really love this piece of information. I remember when it first came on and on my For You page, I'm like, what, is this shit fucking broken? Is Elon Musk running shit? By the way, this is exactly what I love about Twitter. Fuck Twitter. I mean TikTok. TikTok, the algorithm has figured out, it's kind of scary, but the algorithm has figured out what I want to see. Twitter, on the other hand, tells me what I don't want to hear. But that's going to trigger me. That's going to make me want to say, what? Man, fuck you. Anyway, yeah. Anyways, but so I was shocked when I saw this dude talking, the Archie Bunker, the actor plays Archie Bunker, because it invokes rage when I hear, when I see his face. The reason why I used to be annoyed, excuse me, the reason why I was annoyed by this character is because every white person, again, I want to remind you that my name is B Black, but I grew up with white people, and and every white person likes to bring up how, oh fuck, I used to love Archie Bunker. You can say that shit nowadays. It's not right, it's not right, buddy. It's not right, boy. You know, it's the good old days. Ain't that right? You know, and like this is like, and they always assume that you've seen it, and if not, oh, you must be one of those soft Negroes. Can't handle a little racism. Anyways, I used to hate hearing about that fucking show. No, I never watched the show. I only know that it was, I don't know if it was a spinoff, if Jefferson was a spinoff, who came before, whatever, but I know Jefferson made an appearance on it, but I never grew up watching the show, but I knew about it. And the only thing I knew about it is every racist white person, or every white person from buttfuck nowhere, who I have the pleasure of being the first black person they meet, wants to talk about Archie Bunker. So I hated the fucking show. I hated it. I didn't tell him I hated him because, you know, I'm trying to make white people feel safe. So I didn't tell him that, but I just hated the show. Now, with that in mind, I purposely make that setup because this explains why I love this clip. After Carol O'Connor, God bless the Irish. O'Connor, that's Irish, right? Anyway, yeah. I'm sure he's a, I'm not going to look it up. Whatever, but my point is, God bless this man, because after that explanation, wow, homie made me relate to Archie Bunker. Mainly what I love what he says is, what he starts with, yo, A, he's not really a happy guy, and two, he's not making it in the modern world. The reason why it's, I'm getting older myself. I'm not old, but I'm getting older. And I do have this fear. Spoiler alert, I have this fear of being one of those old people who doesn't make it, who gets left behind in this modern world. Growing up, I used to have this job, and I still remember when computers were the new thing, where computers were like replacing typewriters. It was, they were putting it on your desk. And I had this part-time job at Ottawa U, and this dude I used to work with got fired. You know why? Because he refused to work with computers. I don't know where this guy is now. He probably didn't know about internet porn at that time. But this is before the internet. But my point is, he refused to work with a computer, and they put the boss in a situation where they had to fire the guy. He seemed like a decent guy. Whatever, man. It would shock me. But it's, I'm also thinking of this time where I was putting gas in my full serve. Okay, hold on a second. After full serve, okay, but yeah. So I was putting gas in my car, and on the other end of the pump, I'm hearing beep 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 beep. Like, I'm hearing a lot of noise, and it sounded like whoever, like I could tell that it was an old lady at the gas pump, and she was struggling. I don't know if she was reading the instruction, but she was struggling. And at some point, I hear on the intercom, I guess because I was nosy, I hear on the intercom, I want to, for the sake of details, and also to this joke, it was an Indian lady. She goes, sir. Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm paraphrasing, but she goes, sir, can you help this fucking white bitch with the fire? She didn't say that, you know, she said, sir, can you help her out with the gas pump? So I go on the other side. And turns out the lady didn't understand, like, the tap or the, you know how on your credit card there's, like, the little, whatever, tap or whatever the fuck, man. How you're supposed to leave your card in, put in your PIN number, and you only pull it out when the machine tells you. This bitch was struggling, man. And it was so fucked up that, fuck, I ended up pumping the lady's gas. I'm like, look, lady, leave the fucking card in there, put in your pin. All right, and I pulled out and I put it in. And she was like, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. And I was feeling good about myself. And then until I start thinking, you remind me of my butler. My butler usually does this, but he quit after I call him the N-word. Some shit like that. You know, I remember being pissed. All I know is if any of my homies drove by and saw me pumping this white woman's gas up, this gas, I would have lost infinity points on my black card. But my point is, I think part of the reason why I chose to help her is because I feared, I'm trying to help my karma here, because I have this fear of being that person who struggles with, this poor lady probably told herself, can I pay cash, bitch? Fucking self-serve. Whatever, man. AI comes up. And, we got brain chips in our mind and shit like that. And you can activate, control your TV. And knowing me, fuck, I'm accidentally projecting porn. Oh, wait. This ain't the sales report for fiscal results. Well, anyway, yeah. So, I have this fear of being growing up. Okay, not just growing up old, but being that person who can't cope with new technology. Because the world could be cool, man. And because I used to be good at this shit. Anyway, no, I had a moment at work, actually, where I nearly, freaked the fuck out. But, again, I tend to panic quickly. But I had a moment at work because I work in technology, and we had a client ask us for something and involved new technologies, and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, and I'm not sure how to deliver this shit. And then I tell upper management about it, and they're like, hey, dude, you're gonna have to send us some training. And he's like, yeah. It's more the idea of we're kind of I'm not a consultant, but it's like we're expected to be the people who set the standards. But how am I fucking supposed to set the standard if I don't know what? It's kind of like I was explaining it to a friend, but I use this analogy, man. I feel like my job is I need to go out there and give these women orgasms. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know what a clitoris is. Cause my point is there's gonna be a time where I'm gonna have to play dumb. I'm gonna have to play along, say, look, lady, you teach me. But upper management doesn't want us to do that. Upper management wants us to act like we've been giving these bitches orgasms. And if they said, what's a clitoris? How the fuck am I supposed to know? Just fake it till you make it. Ah, je me fais rigoler. All right, okay. You know what I mean? Anyway, yes. So, so it's interesting how, let's get back, Archie Bunker. Yes. I love how, this is amazing, man. Anyways, I love the way Mr. Carol O'Connor, the actor who plays Archie Bunker, got me to see the shared humanity between this character that I actually hate. You know, yeah, that I hated. I hated because white people were used it as a way to see, racism is normal. And it's funny. And yeah, but I just love the way I'm grateful TikTok that it was on my For You page. All right. Woo, my eyes are dry for some reason. Okay. Okay, this is a longer clip. I'm not sure. You know what? Fuck it. I'm not sure if I'm going. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I'm labeling this under, I'm not mad at this white guy. A lot of people are mad at this dude, but with the limited information that I have, I'm going to play part of this clip. It's an interview between Ta-Nehisi Coates. Right now, it's on social media. I'm sure a lot of people are talking about it. Excuse me. Well, the cool kids are. And Ta-Nehisi Coates just is coming out with a book called The Message, which, by the way, I downloaded the audiobook and heard the first two chapters. And fuck, that dude can write. It's not just that he can write. I think I'm fascinated at his ability to transfer thoughts, ideas into another person's mind, or specifically my mind. That's what makes him so talented. I envy, I admire that skill, but so distracted. Anyway, so Ta-Nehisi Coates, hey, I'm pronouncing it better. By the way, in the book, he mentions how, yeah, when my parents named me, they purposely gave me a name that would put you in a situation where, like, am I pronouncing it right? Anyway, so he wrote a book, and there's a huge chapter about Palestine. And needless to say, I'm not at it yet. But the Daily Show covers it way better. But anyways, whatever. People are talking about this interview, and I'm going to play parts of it, and you can watch the rest on your own. But here we go. You'll understand why people are talking about it. Here we go.
Conflict, and there's so many quote-unquote issues to be dealt with.
Ta-Nehisi, I want to dive into the Israel-Palestine section of the book. It's the largest section of the book. Mm. And I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards and the acclaim, took the cover off the book, the publishing house goes away, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist.
Mm.
And so then I found myself wondering, why does Ta-Nehisi Coates, who I've known for a long time, read his work for a long time, very talented, smart guy, leave out so much? Mm. Why leave out that Israel is surrounded by countries that want to eliminate it? Why leave out that Israel deals with terror groups that want to eliminate it?
Mm.
Why not detail anything of the first and the second intifada, the cafe bombings, the bus bombings, the little kids blown to bits? And is it because you just don't believe that Israel in any condition has a right to exist?
Mm. Well, I would say the perspective that you just outlined, there is no shortage of that perspective in American media.
Mm.
That's the first thing I would say. I am most concerned always with those who don't have a voice, with those who don't have the ability to talk. I have asked repeatedly in my interviews whether there is a single network, mainstream organization in America with a Palestinian American bureau chief or correspondent who actually has a voice to articulate their part of the world. I've been a reporter for 20 years. The reporters of those who believe more sympathetically about Israel and its right to exist don't have a problem getting their voice out. But what I saw in Palestine, what I saw on the West Bank, what I saw in Haifa in Israel, what I saw in the South Hebron Hills, those were the stories that I have not heard. And those were the stories that I was most occupied with. I wrote a 260-page book. It is not a treatise on the entirety of the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
But if you were to read this book, you would be left wondering, why does any of Israel exist? What a horrific place, committing horrific acts on a daily basis. So I think the question is central and key. If Israel has a right to exist, and if your answer is no, then I guess the question becomes, why do the Palestinians have a right to exist? Why do 20 different Muslim countries have a right to exist?
My answer is that no country in this world establishes its ability to exist through rights. Countries establish their ability to exist through force, as America did. And so I think this question of right to Israel does exist. It's a fact. The question of its right is not a question that I would be faced with any other country.
But you write a book that delegitimizes the pillars of Israel. It seems like an effort to topple the whole building of it. So I come back to the question, and it's what I struggled with throughout this book. What is it that so particularly offends you about the existence of a Jewish state that is a Jewish safe place and not any of the other states out there?
All right, okay. The focus is on the white dude, and it's the way it's the equivalent of Malcolm X talking about black people, and the white person's like, so why do you hate white people? You're missing the fucking point. You're not focusing on what I'm saying. You're really like trying to like, you're not trying to hear me. I won't lie. When I first heard this dude, like to this point, like by the end, my views changed. Kind of like Archie Bunker. When I first heard this dude, I was like, yo, I was mad. I was in my fucking, these crackers just don't get it. Your history has fucked you up so much. See, a lot of what people have been saying about when it comes to the Palestine-Israel conflict, I'm told maybe not, I don't know if the word conflict or occupation by Israel. Israel, the oppression, all that shit. People who can, those of us who descendants of colonized nation can relate to what's going on with Palestine and those who are descendant of the colonizers relate to what Israel is doing. From their perspective, Palestine, oh, they're the savages. Oh my God, we were trying to give them Christianity, and then they fucking fought back, this fucking ungrateful piece of shit. We were trying to teach them how to bathe. I mean, sorry, it's the other way around. We're trying to... So at the beginning, I was annoyed by homeboy's question. And that's what everyone's talking about. This white boy's response. And I'm going to read the caption of what the person who initially shared this, Willie Quinn. Yeah, Willie Quinn. He goes, critics call for CBS Morning journalist, Tony DeCoupley, to be removed after his line of question regarding Israel and Palestine during the morning's interview with the author journalist Ta-Nehisi Coates. Okay, now the person who shared this, who retweeted this, is Karen Hunter, and she responds with, "His questioning evoked the response. His questioning evoked the response. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. You just better be prepared for the answers. When Coates said, 'I'm a child of Jim Crow,' I was like, they aren't ready for what's coming next." So when I, look, I don't know this white guy. What I am going to say, I don't know this white guy, I don't know what his intention, but what I am going to say, I'm going to pretend, right? I'm going to believe in Santa Claus. I'm going to pretend that he's a genuine human being who, look, this is just how I see the world. And the question he asked Ta-Nehisi Coates, in my opinion, allowed Ta-Nehisi Coates to show the critics or people who think like him. Because if you listen to Ta-Nehisi Coates, you'll realize that, oh, he gets it. I think that a lot of the point that Ta-Nehisi Coates is trying to say is, no, he get, look, okay, I'm going to go back to, I keep referencing, fuck it, it's my goddamn podcast. Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And no, I'm not trying to sell you on the book, but it's an idea that I like. And he goes, seek first to understand, then be understood. I used to believe in that shit. That first, let me allow myself to understand the other person's perspective before I introduce mine. And part of understanding the other person's perspective is you're going to hear some fucked up. You're going to hear some, their perspective is going to be fucked up for you. It's going to sound exactly like this white dude. So, what's with the, so why do you think Israel doesn't deserve to exist? I didn't say any of that shit. What the? I love how Thomas responded with, look, the world knows Israel's size. We all know. Okay, they're in the land, they're surrounded by a bunch of Arab countries. And a lot of them are happy for them to be there. I mean, justifiably, but I'm going to get into it. But I mean, from their perspective, I get. Okay, yeah, I'll even go further. I used to, this was my joke. It was more like, I was thinking about if I were to make up some religion, off branch of the what do you call that? The Black Israelites, another branch of the Black Israelites, and I declare that the city of Ottawa is mine because of Chapter 6 says it belongs to Black people, right? Right. So me and my homies, we take over Ottawa, and the current residents are like, we oppress the shit out of them. Oh, not that we take over Ottawa, and we have the backing of our greatest allies is Wakanda. But Wakanda what was his name again? The villain. Oh shit, Killmonger, as their leader. Cause he'd have my back. He'd be like, "What? What's that mean? Okay, it's your place. So y'all come at me. Y'all run up and get done up." So you got all these white people being like, "Hey man, this used to be my house. Well, it's my house now, cracker." Hey, that's not right. Oh, are you touching me? Violence. I mow down his whole family over that shit. Beat a crack. Not white people get it. Well, what I'm trying to say is, okay, what I'm trying to say is, if you're serious about understanding that perspective, that's what that white dude is saying. That's exactly what they think. Now, here's the part about me believing in Santa Claus. Because the response the Ta-Nehisi Coates gave to a rational human being should give them something to think about. Now, usually, you know, how it works is people just stand to their opinion, stand to the underside and say, nope, I'm good, you're bad. No, you just don't want Israel to, you know. But the believe in Santa Claus part in me is like, let's pretend this dude is like, yo, no, I'm going to help you sell these books. But the question he asks are the same questions that the people who are going to read that chapter about Palestine by Ta-Nehisi Coates, despite the fact it's his attempt to show his shared humanity. It was his way of being like, yo, I recognize what's going on here. Yo, I'm from Jim Crow. The fucking, y'all got the same system we had. This is some apartheid shit going on here. Whatever, however way you want to justify this behavior, y'all got an apartheid system going on. And you can't expect these people to be like, yeah, we're cool about it. Like, you're oppressing the people. Of course there's going to be resistance. Any human beings would have done that. Anyways, it's, holy shit, mic is loud, eh? I just, all this to say, I'm not mad at this white dude, because he's just being a white dude. And there's a lot more like him. I think, like, I'm not joining the camp of get him fired. I mean, it was infuriating what he said, but I love the fact that he didn't ask Ta-Nehisi any questions he wasn't ready to answer or he couldn't handle. It reminded me of the old interviews of Malcolm X. And yo, he would, and oh, back then. Anyway, I said, so why you Negroes think you deserve freedom? You know, shit like that. Why do you Negroes object to being called Negroes? You know, anyways. Look, all I'm saying is that white dude. He's like, I was thinking of, wait, what's going on? Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that white dude just created an opportunity that allowed Ta-Nehisi Coates to shine. With all that said, it's why, like I mentioned, it's why that this all this controversy going on, like, you know, all these shared links, it's why that I ended up downloading his book. And like I said, man, fuck, I wish I had that talent to make the world see shit like I see it. Anyways, all right, okay. This concludes the second act, Using Random Thoughts. Let's jump to the final act and get the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, let's go. Y'all ready? Okay, let's go. 55-0. Okay, what's up with today's title? Okay, all right. Before I explain today's title, let me remind you what inspired today's final thought. Okay, partly a reminder, but it's a clip that I played. What inspired the title of today's show? Why I picked the titles to this show, and why I picked the rap verse that I recited earlier. Here we go. So shout out to Zoe Tyler, a.k.a. the Zoli Spirit from TikTok. Oh, the internet. Social media. Here we go.
No, because me? I'm beating my kids the second they talk back. Bop, bop, bop. Making massa proud.
What?
Making massa proud.
What does that even mean?
No, I was just saying, like, you were continuing his family tradition of beating black bodies into submission.
No, beating kids is funny. We were all just laughing.
I bet you they were beating kids in Africa too before anybody got there.
Well, there's actually no historical or anthropological evidence of ritualistic physical discipline in pre-colonial West African societies, so... Mm-hmm. You'd be wrong.
Nah, it's not even about all that. Like, they say it's okay to do it in the Bible.
You know who else used that defense?
Nah. You made it weird. You gotta go. Oh.
All right, okay. The clip is longer. You can watch it on your own. But it's interesting. It was a segment, the clip I played on the last episode, it was a segment of Use Your Random Thought, and now it's a part of my final thought. Before I continue, the reason I chose that verse by Chuck D, Public Enemy, from the song, that verse that I recited, came from Chuck D's song, Can't Trust It. And because the title of today's episode was Mickey Massa Proud, I wanted something related to slavery. But I wanted to be able to actually use the words, get my hand around the neck of the man with the whip. That's the really message in all this, right? I could have recited the whole verse, but I won't lie, man. That verse was a little complicated. And every time I try to read, whatever, it doesn't matter. But so that's what's up with the title, and that's what's up with today's poetry that I recited earlier. Now, the real reason why the title of today's episode is Making Massa Proud is because on the last episode, I committed a sin. I deleted. No, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. But okay, it's I deleted. There's a portion of what I said with respect to that clip on the last episode that I ended up deleting. And the reason I did that is because the thought that I was trying to get across was felt complicated. And two, the real reason why I deleted it is because I kept picturing people hearing me, what I was saying, and doing me like that, and hearing what I'm not saying. Like it's a part of why I create this podcast and talk solo is because I have this habit of when I'm talking to someone saying what I believe they want, what they want to hear. And 9 times out of 10, it's never what's actually on my mind. It's a habit of mine. So anyway, so I deleted it. So I remember deleting it, bringing it up in my therapy session, and then I'm like, you know what? Okay, now I understand what I was trying to say. So I'm going to try to say, I'm going to speak it out. You know, it's so complicated that I wrote it point form, plugged it into ChatGPT and say, this shit makes sense to you. And say, this is what I think you're trying to say. And I'm like, yeah, this is it. Whatever, right? But it feels valid. So this is like a third attempt to express a thought. Again, this is my goddamn podcast. This is what I do. This is what this podcast is all about, is to express thoughts that are kind of complicated, but 9 times out of 10, I'm used to having someone either not hearing what I'm saying, not understand what I'm trying to say, and at the very worst, it's like being dissed for it. It's like, oh, wow, you believe it. Anyway, okay. So here's my attempt. Hold on. Let me see the, where is the, okay. Let me read. You know, it's fucked up that I have to read it out loud. Okay. Excuse me. Make it massa proud. Okay. I go, in this final thought, I want to revisit something I cut out from the last episode. I was trying to express a complicated feeling, but I didn't feel I did it justice. So I'm giving it another shot. Now I'm saying, you've heard the concept. I didn't do it justice, but it was really, again, what I do on this podcast, a lot of it is first draft thoughts. It's thoughts that if I should expand on it in writing. Here goes. Lately, I've been recognizing that I struggle with getting along with people or connecting with people. On the surface, if you saw me, you would think, oh, it's all good. Oh, wow, you get along. Oh, you're a cool person, whatever, right? On the surface, between me and you, I put on a beautiful act, a convincing act that you and I are connecting. But deep down inside, 9 times out of 10, I'm in survival mode, defaulting to people-pleasing mode. I'm also recognizing, there's some deep thoughts going on, I'm also recognizing that I'm still processing. I've been talking about this in a past episode, but I'm still processing emotions after a friend passed away. I talk about a friend who passed away, and we weren't really close. I've been using the term, we weren't really friends, but we were friends, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't know her family, didn't know her personal stuff, but I still have this image of her when I think of her passing away. Now, I don't actually believe in the afterlife, but if there is one, when I do picture an afterlife, I picture her, like in the off chance I make it to the gates of heaven, I picture her seeing me, tapping the shoulder of the bouncer who's going for the St. Peter's, tapping St. Peter's on the shoulder and saying, yo, he's good, let him in. The reason is because another reason why, part of how I know her is like we hung out together. You know, we had the same group of friends we hung out with, but a lot of things, like a lot of us in Ottawa, know her from is working the door at clubs. I didn't know her when she worked in the club, but she is the kind of person who would be like, yo, let him in. He's good. Whatever. Yeah, I know. I checked with the owner. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know he's not supposed to be wearing a fuck Whitey t-shirt, but, you know, he's good. Whatever. Anyways, so that's what I'm trying to say of the kind of bond that I have with this person. Her funeral was last week, and I didn't attend the funeral. And I've been like, it's been a little fucked up for me. It's like, I didn't attend a funeral because the first part is since COVID, I don't like large gatherings of people. Even if I know family or whatever the fuck, I don't like large gathering of people. And if you manage to get me out lately, it's like, I don't like large gathering of people. And in this particular case, if I do go out, the only reason I would have gone out is for a person who's currently in the casket. Like, I didn't want to, like, be surrounded and talk about, small talk about, oh, black folks want to get together when there's funeral. You know, shit like that. I didn't want to have small talk. I didn't want to see why, like I said, the one person I would have gone out with is in the casket. My only emotion, I realized that because I was processing my feelings for A, she passed away, I didn't attend the funeral, and I was realizing the real reason, my only inspiration to go to the funeral was just to go out there and convince people that I'm a decent human being. It's to put on an act to say, hey, I'm here wearing my suit, and I'm doing, I got a Bible for props, and yeah, I'm here. But deep down inside, I did not want to be there. Now, finally, what does this have to do with the making Massa Proud video about beating your children? Sometimes I think, because that's what I was talking about in the last episode, that's where the connection was. I didn't see it at the time, but now I see the connection. I was talking about the whole beating your children thing. And sometimes I wonder if these complex feelings stem from the beatings I used to receive as a kid. Now, this ain't, I'm not trying to blame my parents. It's what makes this thought complicated. It's not an attempt to blame my parents. They didn't know any better. That's how they did shit. What I am saying is, unlike the rest of yous, oh, I got beat by my parents, I turned out all right. I'm acknowledging I did not turn out all right. I'm not saying I'm killing people, but I am saying I'm in a situation processing feelings where realizing that, like, today I'm an adult trying to figure out how to have a real connection with other human beings. Because up until this point, most of my connections with other people have been bullshit. And I'm grateful for the people out there who, like, understand that, okay, fuck it. He needs his time. Maybe we'll hang in. Maybe we're not. But he needs to go through what he needs to go through. But what's been happening, it's the people who are like, no. I need you in my life because I need, you know, it's because I need those people-pleasing skills again. And that was the thought that I cut out from the last episode. And that's how we ended up with Mickey Massa Proud. So shout out to, again, Zoe Tyler for that clip and the inspiration to this thought. But fuck, I feel better. That's what this podcast is about. Someone on, I think it was on the Podbean Twitter page, they asked a question. I said, hey, what's your motivation for podcasting? And I realized I was like tired of silencing myself. Part of the reason I silence myself is these complex thoughts that I rarely have an outlet to express. I guess I could write it, but I hate writing. I wish I could write, but I can't write. Man, whatever. Wow. Is it fucked up that I have to use ChatGPT to, like, iron out my thoughts? Yeah, whatever. It is what it is, man. You know what I mean? We can't all walk on water like the rest of you people. But with all that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I won't lie, I'm starting to enjoy my episodes a bit more. Anyways, concludes today's episode. Please donate at the counter. I don't have a donation button set up, but what I would like is to hear from you. If I said anything that you can relate to, connect to, or whatever, holler at me. Holler at BBlack. Email address for the podcast is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I'm using the tactic of Dr. Umar. He keeps repeating himself. Shut up, podcast. 411@gmail.com. White man's the devil. All right. and again, I would tell you, this is the part where I would tell you to go to the website. Shut up, podcast.com. But it's kind of fucked up right now. I mean, it's all right. It's all right. You can hear clips, but it's like under construction, just without the signs on it. It's not my best foot forward. Okay, this is it. What time is it? Damn, it's late. Okay, all right. So thank you for listening. As always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.